Thanks, everyone. Coming from the employment side of the house, if we go to my second slide, yesterday I talked about one of our programs that's made $20 million in earnings for people who are working, but I wanted to break it down because nothing makes a trust last longer than contributions by the beneficiary. So these numbers are already out of date. I put them together whenever this was due, a couple of months ago. But we find that participants in our Aiden program are now making almost $19 an hour. And averaging about 31 hours of work a week. So let's just use the numbers that I have on this slide, but what would $26,000, mean to the length of a trust before it was depleted? I think just to bounce off something Steve said, again, we are, especially in this program, we are getting calls and contacts all the time to hire folks with disabilities. The remote working is a huge piece of it. But also employers are beginning to really see that, like Steve said, people with disabilities can in fact work. And I'll just share one, as long as we're talking about huge changes in the landscape, a number of very large corporations that we work with are looking at disability, looking at disability as a solution to their workforce problem. And they've learned about asset limits, and they've learned how that prevents people from getting jobs, and they're putting together policy teams to look at asset limit reform. Let me say that again. Fortune 500 companies are looking at policy reforms around asset limits because it's affecting their bottom line. This is just an absolute, groundswell change with regard to employment for people with disabilities. So, going to the next slide, I'll put my pitch in again for everybody in the room to give, beneficiaries a nudge towards looking at employment, not only for quality of life, but to perhaps make those trust dollars last a little bit longer. But more so, for the quality of life, including people with disabilities in the workforce. As we talked about yesterday, nothing about us without us.
Let me just toss this one thing in just for the hell of it. One place where sometimes it's overlooked where maybe hiring a person with a disability or even a parent with a disability might work out, which might be your own law firm. In our law firm, we hired somebody in the spectrum to review a lot of the credit card statements we get for folks that are that were administered in the pooled trust, and we have somebody, Tracy, who in the spectrum, but she absolutely loves going through credit card statements and matching them up. Now, my staff hate going through credit card statements, and it wasn't just a nice thing to do here. She's an important part of our law firm and that kind of thing. So for many of us, we might even look in our own community because, once again, these folks are resources. Let's exploit the hell out of them, That's my feeling. Anyway, Renee.
Okay, so I want to go over for a minute to what some of us oldsters might call the sharp pencil provisions in this whole process, which is looking at the actual financial calculations. So we know that there are special needs trusts out there with millions of dollars of funding, but most special needs trusts will not have enough money to meet all of the needs, cover all of the needs and wants of a beneficiary, cover all the expenses, and last for the beneficiary's lifetime. So putting together financial projections will help with all of the trade-offs that need to be made along the way due to limited resources. And, one thing that's very important is that actually going through and running financial projections may help trustees defend their decisions later, both as to the distributions that they made and the distribution requests that they refused. Now, we also know that almost every special needs trust will need that wonderful special needs trust dream team that we've heard about over the last few days, but we also know that very few will be able to afford it. And we also know that with most of our clients planning for children with disabilities, one of their top priorities is that they want the trust to last for the beneficiary's lifetime. And that's not going to happen if the trust has been depleted and shut down. So using Tom's language, looking at gentle nudges, perhaps make a nudge towards actually preparing low-tech, very simple financial projections to start, just a starting point, because we know that this is can be very misleading, and so it's very offensive to some sophisticated financial people. In fact, that could work to our advantage if they are so offended that they take it over and redo it much more appropriately. But let's start by looking just at basic mathematical formulas. The total amount available divided by the number of years we want it to last. Well, look at that as a potential maximum amount for annual distributions, or the reverse, you know, the total amount available, the annual distributions that you want, how long will that last? Or flip it all the way around and say, okay, we want it to last 50 years. We need $50,000 a year. You know, wow, that's $2.5 million. Well, can we change that by rearranging the numbers? So if you'd move to the next slide, whoever's doing slides, thank you. So we know that the basic mathematical formula is just too simple, but it's a starting point. And years ago, I saw a pool trust preparing distribution plans for funding for families, and they used just plain numbers. And I thought,